What's up, everybody? Welcome to Respect Our Authorita, Wisecrack South Park podcast. My name is Jared, and I'm joined here with the authoritarians on this Thanksgiving Day. We got Amanda.
Hey.
And Lux.
Yo.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thank you guys for joining us. Today, we're talking about South Park Season 23, Episode 8, Turd Burglars. As always, I'm going to first guess as to what I think you guys rated this episode. I'm going to guess that Amanda gives this episode a B minus, and I am going to guess that Lux gave this episode an A minus. How did I do? Let's start with Amanda.
Pretty accurate. I was somewhere vacillating in the C plus B minus range. I got a little excited when I saw that it was like the women of South Park, because I thought maybe it was going to be what we were talking about earlier this season, where they were actually kind of like developing the female characters in like an interesting, meaningful way. And then it was just kind of poop jokes, which is like fine. I'm fine with that. I didn't laugh that much. I did really like the animation of the microbes, and I like really related to Kyle because I think probably once a day about how many microbes are on like my thumb. So definitely, yeah, I mean, laughed a little, not that much. Kind of a meh.
Kind of a meh. Okay, cool. Lux, what about you?
I'm probably just straight up an A on this episode. It's got everything I love. It's got doo-doo jokes. It's got really cool animation choices. It's got the story is basically Dune, which is like my favorite book in the world. I love this episode. I had a great time. I laughed a lot. I was in fact made fun of for how much I was laughing at just like pictures of poop. But I love that shit. Pun in fully intended. I enjoyed the shit out of this episode. It was great.
Yeah, me too, man. I quite enjoyed this episode as well. And, you know, someone on our Discord had even said that, oh, this is cool that we get a South Park episode that has no social commentary and is just straight up dick and fart jokes like old times. And I would largely agree with that. But I do think that the way that the episode is framed at the very beginning does give it like a little bit of a social commentary edge that I appreciated. But overall, I like the Dune references. I liked the fart jokes. I was good to see Stan, Kyle, Kenny, and Cartman kind of back, not quite in the limelight as central characters, but they're back at it. And yeah, I thought it was a solid addition to a mostly solid season.
Yeah, this is another one of those times where, like, much like the China episode, South Park was like released on the same, like, in the same time period as the thing it was talking about, where like this week fucking butthole tanning has become like a health craze.
What are you talking about?
From the New York Post. The hottest trend gripping wellness diehards is tanning their cans, or perineum sunning, as influencers are calling it. Quote, in a mere 30 seconds of sunlight on your butthole, you will receive more energy from this electric node than you would in an entire day being outside with your clothes on.
So it's like a vitamin D boost or something?
Yeah, for your butthole. But like this episode really hits on that like weird, like anyone will do anything to get healthy and believe these like crazy or weird methods just to like make it happen. And I thought that was such a funny satire of like that specific culture that I think is very silly.
Wait, so fecal transplants are real too?
Oh yeah, fecal transplants are extremely real. Actually, when I was in college, I thought they were the funniest thing in the world and wrote a short story for a creative writing class about them.
Wait, but are people doing it only for serious medical reasons, or are they doing it for just more cosmetic type stuff?
As far as I understand, and I did a little digging about this, I went to Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop website, and I didn't find anything where you could buy fecal transplant stuff, but I found a couple articles that were like, could these be the next thing that's good? So I don't think they're something people do cosmetically yet, but I think they're like in the discussion of things people might do cosmetically in the future.
Okay.
I just love when it makes me so happy when South Park just like nails the culture so well that like there's a thing that's on my Twitter at the same time South Park is going, and it's like what they're talking about. It's like one of my favorite feelings in the world.
Wow. I think I am like so behind on what people are doing to their buttholes that I completely missed all the cultural references.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
See, that's like a big thing for me.
Do you have any butthole Twitter handles to recommend to the viewers and the listeners?
This particular one I got from Katie Nolan, who's an ESPN person who tweeted the perineum thing. But I mean, if you want butthole jokes, man, just the whole thing of Twitter. If you go in the right places, if you just go find like your pixelated boats and your at Rory Blank comics and whatnot, you'll find butthole stuff.
Oh, hey, before we get into a recap, I wanted to share one piece of news that is also very relevant to South Park. So, you know how everyone, the NBA, even South Park is getting canceled in China because they speak out against their stance on free speech in the Hong Kong protests and stuff?
Yep.
Well, we lost a business deal with a Chinese company for that very same reason. We sold this deal that was supposed to happen in January a long time ago. It was going to be a pretty significant deal for us. And after seeing our South Park episode where we talked about their Banned in China episode on the channel, they pulled out and completely stopped doing business with us entirely, which, I mean, sucks a little bit, but ultimately, fuck them. Like, all of us were just kind of like, oh my God, really? And we're, you know, fuck them.
Wait, we got banned Holy in China? Shit. That's how you know we're important.
We got banned in China. Absolutely.
Fuck yeah. That rules. That's very good.
Yeah.
That's wild. I mean, not the best, but it's, you know, that rules.
Yeah.
That's very crazy.
Yeah. So it is like a badge of honor.
For sure.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's probably the best I've felt about a thing where it's like the place you work for just lost a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but in the coolest imaginable way.
But for the best reasons. Absolutely. All right, guys, let's go into a recap. So in this one for the ladies, Sheila is given a fecal transplant to cure her violent vomiting and diarrhea caused by a bacterial infection called C. diff. Introducing this healthy microbiome into her system not only heals her, but enables her to lose weight. Meanwhile, having learned about the countless microorganisms constantly living on and inside of him, Kyle becomes sleepless and paranoid. Envious of her newfound energy, the other women ask if they can borrow some of Sheila's poop for a DIY fecal transplant. When she refuses, Harriet hires Cartman and the boys to steal Sheila's poop in exchange for a free copy of Jedi Fallen Order. The boys successfully extract the specimen, and Kyle heads to the doctor, where he accidentally stumbles upon the knowledge of the greatest microbiome ever, Tom Brady's poop, or the spice melange. Harriet reaps all the benefits from her DIY transplant with a turkey baster. Meanwhile, Mr. Mackey bribes the kids to steal Tom Brady's poop, and Kyle, now understanding that the organisms that make up his microbiome are him, receives an ominous message about a bookcase. Turns out the other women have stolen Sheila's poop too, and having used an unsanitary turkey baster, get the whole town sick with C. diff. The only thing that can cure it is a super microbiome. The boys infiltrate Tom Brady's house and are about to get kicked out when Kyle comes in and, inspired by the communication with his microbiome, discover a hidden stash of poop behind Tom Brady's bookshelf. With the spice in hand, the doctors cure all of South Park from C. diff. End of episode. So first thing I want to ask about this, since this one was one for the ladies, Amanda, I know you already said that you thought it was more poop jokes than anything nuanced about women, but yeah, I mean, what did you think about, I mean, there were some things where the women were perhaps characterized as being a little catty, like, you know, calling names, each other names behind each other's backs. There's also the whole thing with them being obsessed with whatever dieting / wellness fad comes across their way. So what'd you think about their effort to do one for the ladies?
I don't think it was particularly nuanced. It certainly like was fun at points. I mean, I think what I might have like hoped for from South Park is like some recognition that there like are social reasons that women go to such extremes to like keep up with wellness in this way, and that there like is a lot of pressure, but I don't really think there was any of that there. Yeah, I don't think it was particularly deep. I think it was somewhat fun, but not much more than that, in my opinion.
I quite liked it. I want to hear what you think about my take on this. So at the very beginning of the episode, this is what I was referring to earlier when I said that I think the episode is kind of framed in a pretty interesting way. So the first thing that we see is there's a town hall meeting with all the women of South Park, and Sheila's at the front and she says, "The women of this town need to stand together. We're here and we're proud, and it's time to let everyone know that the women of South Park should be treated the same as the men." And then immediately she starts throwing up and has explosive diarrhea. And I think that that juxtaposition is pretty deliberate in that I think the message is that, yes, if we are to treat women of South Park the same as we're treating the men, they subject the women of South Park to the same idiocy, scatological humor, and pettiness of the men on the show. And this is something that I'm kind of constantly talking about among people, especially living in LA, where everyone is very, 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 very liberal, is that there's a side, this side of discussions on equality that we don't see enough is that, you know, we only portray people as saints in the name of equal representation, but you gotta just, I just think you need to portray them as just as shitty and flawed as everyone else. That's real equality to me. And I think that this is a very comedic South Park style way of showing equality, because Randy and his cohorts are a bunch of fucking morons who do poop jokes all the time. And now the women are going to be a bunch of fucking morons that do poop jokes all the time.
Right. I mean, that's basically they make it pretty explicit. They're like, you want to see us treat the women like we treat the other characters? Fine. They will shit and puke everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's that's their deal.
That's beautiful for me, at least.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. And I mean, I also thought that there was the point that, you know, women will say, you know, let's band together. We're stronger when we're together. But then as soon as one woman gets something that the other women want, there's the inevitable competition. I get it.
I do think that the last line of the episode kind of undercuts the positivity of the message. It makes it feel a little bit more like a rebuke to the critics.
Yeah.
When they're at the end where they're like, and I think we can all agree that one for the ladies is one too many for the ladies.
Yeah. And I get that that's also a joke, but I agree. I think maybe you tapped into what I was feeling. It felt more like a retort to the fact that, to the very legitimate criticism that they don't really portray the women in the same depth that they do the male characters. And I get why it's funny, but It felt a tiny bit condescending, or just like Luck said, rebuking a critique.
Oh, yeah. See, I think it's totally condescending, but that's the point. It's kind of this innocuous jab. It's like breaking balls, you know, and in order to really show equality, you got to bring women in on the ball breaking as well. You know, among men, at least when I grew up, there was this kind of ritualized harassment of your friends where you make fun of each other, and specifically you make fun of each other by kind of going for the jugular. You don't just make any random insult. You insult them in a way that's going to hurt. And, you know, it's kind of this kind of obscene attempt at intimacy. And by saying at the end that, you know, one for the ladies is too much anytime we try to give women the spotlight, it's a mistake. I mean, yeah, that is trying to go for the jugular. It's being condescending to a way, in a manner that women are specifically sensitive to. And that's, to me, why it works. And it's a very weird, thin line between when something is being genuinely condescending and humiliating and hurtful, and when it's actually being done in jest in a way that's supposed to be a little bit more ball breaking.
Yeah, but you know, I disagree, because I don't actually think South Park is bad at portraying women. I think they just don't do it very much. I thought the Heidi character was great and super funny and super nuanced. And I think they've done some really good stuff with Wendy. And it more was it's not that they don't have female characters, they kind of just don't care about them as much. And I think this episode might have been interesting if it did anything beyond just make a caricature out of the women. The women were kind of all the same caricature.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but Randy and his buddies are always the same caricature of just lazy, oftentimes drunk men who get really stupid ideas in their head and go for it full throttle. And so, I mean, I just think that it is, at least they're attempting, and I would argue mostly succeed in leveling the playing field of people being idiots. Now, I agree that there are certainly other episodes that feature female characters that are much more nuanced and profound, but that's not what they were trying to do here. I think that that beginning was explicitly communicating that we're going to portray women as just as dumb as men, as the men when we portray them as dumb.
Yeah, and I think that the show is almost poking fun at itself a little bit and being like, look, none of our characters are especially deep ever. And so, like, the only difference is that, like, we've put men on these horrible, gross journeys, so we spend more time with them, but, like, what if we do it to women? Here's what that looks like. I think, which I think is fair. Like, I think, Amanda, that your critique is, like, totally valid and makes sense. But also, if they had spent more time sussing it out, there wouldn't have been enough time to do all the Dune references.
Okay, yeah. Can you explain that for somebody who just doesn't know at all what you guys are talking about?
Okay, well, step one is everyone listening to my voice right now who has not read Dune, go read it. It's one of the best books anyone's ever written.
Damn.
That being said, this is just like endless Dune references, right? So the basic plot of Dune, really, really top level, is that, like, there's a big space economy. The thing that they all want is a thing called spice that, like, lets you live longer and feel better, and also helps, like, special wizard guys travel across the universe. That doesn't really matter. Basically, this one guy is, like, the chosen one, the Kwikset Sadarak, who, like, realizes that he's, like, in touch with the entirety of the universe, and in doing so, like, is able to find and use the spice in special cool ways, and it's all about, like, interstellar intrigue and whatever, but it's all about getting the spice. Like, that's what everyone wants, is the spice melange. And so people kill each other, and there's all kinds of crazy shit that happens. And there's the big worms and all kinds of weird magic and whatever. And this episode, like, had so many references. Like, obviously all the spice stuff. There's, like, the shot of the sandworm that's supposed to be Tom Brady's poop. Kyle showing up and his eyes starting to glow and being one with the world and finding, like, the source of all the spice is, like, exactly like Paul becoming the Kwikset Sadarak and getting all of his weird visions and glowy eyes. Like, everything... Kyle's whole arc is very, very, very Dune, and I fucking loved it. And it made me so happy. It's such a, they, like, this, the past two episodes, I will say this, my feelings about Board Girls, which we'll talk about in the mailbags, we got a lot of emails about it, aside, like, that episode and this episode have just, like, flavor-wise hit all my favorite shit, like wrestling and board games and Dune, and I feel very seen and spoken to by the show right now, which I really appreciate.
If I may go one step farther with the Dune thing, do Paul's eyes only turn blue after he drinks from the water of life and is able to see past, present, and future?
I think that, and also I think when he tries the spice also it happens.
Okay. So, yeah, so, like, similarly, I think in the book when he drinks the water of life, it allows him to see the Emperor's incoming army. Similarly, Kyle's microbiome lets him see the significance of the bookcase, but... this one may be a stretch, but let me know what you think, Lux. So even when Paul's powers are at their highest, he always is still recognizing the limitations of his power. And in the end, he even realizes that there's nothing he can do to stop the pending holy war that's coming up. Yet, throughout the book, people are still looking to him like a savior. And he's always kind of saying, like, no, my powers are limited. Not unlike how the people in the episode worship Tom Brady. Even though Kyle is more the Paul character here, that just did resonate for me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something there. I mean, the same way that, like, throughout the books and especially the sequels, people are just, like, petitioning Paul for the spice constantly. That happens with Tom Brady, like, that press conference, that very funny press conference that I also thought was a funny dig just at sports press conferences, because, like, these questions were stupid, but, like, so are the ones they normally get. Like, these aren't that much dumber than the ones that you hear. Like, you know, if you watch a sports press conference, you'll be like, man, it looked like y'all were really trying hard out there. And then the guy will be like, we really were trying hard to win the sports. and, like, they're real dumb. And so these poop questions, I felt like, were a nice dig at that. And I also think that, yeah, they were kind of a reference to, like, the constant, like, petitioning for spice in Dune. I think Tom Brady holds the spice. Like, he's, if he's not a Paul, he's a, what's his name? King Leo or whatever. Right. Duke Leto rather. Because, like, he's the one who controls all the spice and he has it and everyone wants to get it. Amanda, you just gotta read Dune. It's so fucking good.
We're catching Amanda up on all sorts of nerd shit. Amanda's in the midst of reading Watchmen.
I'm digging Watchmen.
Watchmen rips. Yeah.
It's amazing. Lux, so the only David Lynch movie I haven't seen is his Dune. Was the interior monologues specific reference to the Lynch Dune, or is it, I know there's other versions of it.
I believe it's the Lynch Dune. Also, like, within the book, obviously there are, like, all kinds of, like, cutting between people's internal monologues and, like, the third person omniscient narrator. But I think that happens in the Lynch Dune. I was thinking of trying to watch it today, but I overslept. I would watch before the episode, but I overslept, to be honest. So I didn't get to rewatch Dune this morning.
Oh, no problem.
But I think it is from the Lynch one, if I remember correctly. I've only watched the Lynch one twice and not for several years because it's a not very good adaptation of one of my favorite books. So why, you know what I mean? I'll reread the book.
And that's the reason I haven't seen it, because Lynch is probably my favorite director. And I know that that's his worst. He even admits it's his worst work. So I really don't have much interest in watching it.
Yeah. And you can just reread the book in like almost the same amount of time because the movie's 900 hours long.
There is one more thing on the ladies thing that I want to mention, and it's one of the best puns, probably the best pun that they've done this whole season. And it's Mrs. Stotch says, "How much of a bitch can you be? Won't share your feces? Talk about anal retentive."
Well, that joke was great. And that joke also speaks to something I really liked about this episode, which is despite the fact that it's like literally just like poo poo vomit shit jokes, it has like some really subtle and smart joke writing, like how that lady and Mrs. Stotch always use the same joke structure. Like, she makes another shit joke later in the same structure as like talk about anal retentive when they confront the other poop transplant lady. And then both times Mrs. Stotch is like, fuck you. Right. So they have their exact beats and rhythms in a way that's like really nice, like kind of role establishing joke writing. And like, it's like little things like that. Also, like, there's like a rack focus, like a focus play when they're trying to steal Cartman's mom's shit. We can get to later. Like, the animation in this episode is really good. Again, it's these little things that like I obsess over, like the animation style and the joke writing. I thought was like way like at like the as if not as good as South Park gets. The animation was as good as South Park gets, and if it the joke writing was like up there as well. And I thought that was like a really great way to carry this episode. Because you're gonna make a poop episode, you gotta write a poop episode good. Because people, you know, I mean, there you'll have your people like me who are just like, haha, doo doo. But other people will probably want a little bit more juice.
One more thing on the Dune interior monologue sections. It's a rare moment when we actually hear Kenny's voice non-muffled.
Yeah,
totally. That was striking.
Is that what his voice is like when we have heard it before? Is that what it sounds like? Because I couldn't even remember.
The only time I can think of that we've heard his voice non-muffled is, and not counting when he's Mysterion, in which he makes it more grovelly, but would be the end of the South Park movie.
Yeah. And which sounds pretty similar.
Yeah. But so actually, if you want to get into the animation stuff, because all I really have left to talk about are just some great jokes.
Yeah. I mean, so my favorite animation moment for sure was one I just talked about, the one where they're in Kyle's mom's, they're underneath the pipes in Kyle's house trying to steal Kyle's mom's shit. And you have like a foreground field of focus, and Kyle comes down out of focus behind them. And then it kind of like cuts to in focus Kyle behind them, like being like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
A little rack focus. Like, yeah. Are we talking?
It's not quite a rack because they do the cut, but it's just a really impressive little bit of like using cinematography techniques through animation in a way that is like really slick and tricky. It actually kind of reminded me, just like technique wise, of that movie The Lighthouse, which uses a really weird focal range a lot of the time.
Ass movie.
Yeah, that movie whips ass. I finally saw it.
The script is great. I haven't seen it yet, but great script.
Cool. I should read it. But yeah, so like there's that one. The scene, this is gonna sound very silly, but the scene where the doctor is blending the poop to mix it with everyone's butts at the end, like, looks awesome. Like, it looks really good.
I knew you were gonna do that.
It looks really good, and like, that's great. A lot of the animations of shit flying through the air and hitting people looks really good. All of Kyle's weird visions of like paramecium on his skin, and like his like weird laughs when he becomes like Kwikset Satterat Kyle is like also really good. Like, it's there's just a lot of really good little animations in here that made this episode so much fun for me. Because South Park is great when it's like not just fun to like be part of the jokes, it's also like cool to look at. And they did a really good job of making that happen this episode.
Totally. And I really liked the video that Kyle got for like when your mom's had a fecal transplant.
So your mom had a fecal transplant. Yes. Your first question would be, how do I keep my friends from ripping on me? Yeah, that I love that part too.
Also, upon second viewing, I noticed that in the grocery store, Ike literally empties out a bag of potato chips and puts it over his head, which is just like Just a fabulous, because he's so embarrassed that Sheila's talking so openly yeah. about
and
her
and the
feces.
Chip pile builds really it's nicely. Great. It's a nice piece of animation.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, yeah.
So good.
Nice
I also just like,
for sure.
Again, I was like, the other thing, I guess we haven't really gotten super into this. The other thing this episode seems to really harp on is just like quick fix, goop, like health culture. And I think they fucking nail it, right? Like, I love that everything is like conversations happening at like fancy restaurants, which kind of speaks to like the people who can afford it can get crazy treatments that make no sense because like, who cares? Because they have all they can afford it, and that's very fun and goofy, and just like this whole culture, because like you definitely hear about it. I mean, I'm sure more in LA than I do here in Texas, although Austin's pretty big on this stuff, but like of people just being like, you know, the thing to do now is like suntan your butthole or whatever.
Oh god, yeah.
And so like I thought that was this was a really good kind of just dig at that entire culture, especially because that culture is like can sometimes be like a legitimate problem. Because sometimes people die because they think that like their Himalayan salt crystal will take care of it. And it's like you have lead poisoning.
Yeah. And I guess maybe part of why this episode rang a little like thin to me is that it didn't both like establish like a like why there is so much pressure on women to like do all these crazy fucking things because like they're exhausted or like they feel old and ugly. And then also the fact that like, what's really funny about it is that like one day it's like put a crystal up your vagina and the next day it's like put someone else's poop up your butt. And like what's funny is like the constant like capitalistic influx of like new solutions.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could have done a whole episode on it, but if they're just gonna make it one plot, just being like people love getting healthy so much they'll put poop in their butt.
No, I get that totally.
Is at least for me like a totally fine, like that's enough juice for me, because like it's true and it's like it's very funny to me. Like I know people like who people I know, not like friends but acquaintances, have gone to like I'll just get cryogenically frozen for an hour or whatever.
Oh yeah, that shit works though. I mean, I've heard.
Wait. Getting cryogenically frozen for an hour to achieve what?
It like
both like it hurt. It relaxes hurt muscles. It can literally freeze fat off of you. I've heard.
And it like helps your body like reset itself and like recalibrate internal things.
It's like why like Norwegian or I think Finnish people would like sit in like really cold like ice cubes and then jump into a sauna. Like extreme temperatures are good.
Let's do a little round robin here. What trendy health things have you guys tried?
In the 50s it was very trendy to smoke cigarettes.
Oh right.
That's my main health thing that I do.
You've never done like bought apple cider vinegar or something? Or
I've taken apple cider vinegar for like a sore throat.
I've done shots of apple cider vinegar like before every meal and it didn't work great.
But what was that supposed to achieve?
I think it was supposed to speed up my metabolism and get rid of like bad stuff.
Yeah, I did apple cider vinegar once. I don't think it did anything. I don't know if this would be a health craze. Maybe it's a mental health craze, but I recently went into a sensory deprivation tank and honestly, I was just bored for the whole hour. That shit sucked. I hated it. Oh, that was when you were in town, Lux.
Yeah, I remember. I meant to ask you about how that went.
I actually got seasick very quickly.
Whoa. Yeah, I couldn't imagine doing that.
They do say that women are better at the sensory deprivation tank because we're better at disassociating from our body, which is what you have to do.
Woof. Capitalism. Think about that.
Yeah. Bleak.
Oh, one other thing I liked about this episode, and just what I like about, they seem to do it a couple times every season, is how specific they are with their video game references. You can tell that whether it's Matt or Trey or someone else in the writer's room, they are gamers that are playing games. And I actually recently bought Jedi Fallen Order. And Lux, I have to tell you, man, I kind of reached a little bit of a breaking point with Death Stranding, and I stopped playing it briefly. I plan on getting back to it to play Jedi Fallen Order because... You know, I think I delivered one too many packages.
Yeah, I mean, I took a break to play Pokemon, man. I can't, and I love Death Stranding. I think it's basically perfect, but it's like, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's interesting that they chose Jedi Fallen Order rather than Death Stranding.
Here's a fun little nerd catch I made being an absolute dork, is that they can't use the Jedi Fallen Order cover art, obviously, because it copyright things. So they made their own cover art, and their cover art features a famed extended universe character, Mara Jade.
Wait, like, really? I thought it was pretty similar to the real one. I mean, it shows the redhead character.
But it was a red-haired lady with just one. It was just one red-haired lady with a lightsaber, and not like the red-haired guy with the Sith guys behind him and everything.
Oh, really?
Every time I see a red-haired lady Star Wars person, I assume it's Mara Jade.
Wasn't she the hero of the first Jedi game?
Yeah, I think they use her in other stuff, but she was originally an extended universe from the novels with like Triclops and stuff. And Ken Solo, some of my favorite weird esoterica of nerddom.
Yeah, that's you get pretty deep with that shit. But anyway, anything else you guys want to bring about the episode before we go into the mailbag?
I mean, just like it was so good to have the boys back.
Yeah, I agree.
Honestly, I missed Randy.
Yeah.
Did.
No, Randy, you're right. Not even one line.
Yeah.
I mean, I missed Randy a little bit because I was having a lot of fun with the Integrity Farm stuff. But like the boys just have like a rhythm that is like basically stayed the same for 20 some seasons. And it's like very like kind of like comfort food, warm bath feeling. You know what I mean? To just like be interacting with those characters, and they're in like in this rhythm that like I have like internalized in my brain from a decade of watching the show or whatever. And it just like feels really nice to like be like, ah, we're back in this now.
It's great to have Cartman's industriousness back, because you know, if there's anything, any goal that needs to be achieved, whether it's getting Tom Brady's poop or stealing Sheila's poop, Cartman's gonna figure it out, and it's gonna be some really shady, horrible means to do it, but damn it, he's gonna get it done. And I missed that.
Yeah, it was just really nice to like have those familiar beats in the show again. Because one thing on South Park is that like it's been a show that I think all of us have watched for a really long time. And so there's an element of like comfort when it does things that I'm used to. And having the kids back was just like, ah, nice and relaxing. Also, I liked that they tied to the Thanksgiving with the turkey baster stuff, and they had the little
that was really funny, and that made me like get suspicious that like they started this whole thing wanting to like remind us how gross turkey basters are because they sit in your cabinet all year. And it would really delight me if they built this entire episode for that joke.
I did not make the Thanksgiving connection until just now.
Oh yeah, there's the doctor's just like, it's a turkey baster. It sits in your drawer until Thanksgiving, and then you'd use it.
Like the day before Thanksgiving to say that is so great, because nobody can go out and buy a new turkey baster because everything is closed. It's fantastic. Yeah,
that's a really great joke. And it was just like a nice little holiday nod, like a real subtle little like, this is the Thanksgiving episode.
Exactly.
which is a fun little thing for me. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. All right, cool. We're going to go into the mailbag. So one quick note, since actually we're all remote right now. So I'm in New Mexico. Amanda's in New York. And Lux, are you in Texas?
Hell yeah.
All right. So we're coming to you from multiple parts of the country. So I do not have access to our voicemails right now, but we will cover. We got a lot of voicemails about Bored Girls. I think this must have been almost as big as Banned in China in terms of just how many people listen to our podcast and how many reactions we got. Or maybe it's just that, I don't know, certain subjects people are just really passionate about. So maybe it's just that.
I can say anyway, for sure that this was the most emails we've gotten all season. I had to mute notifications from the forwarding South Park thing for a couple of days because I was getting like 10, 15 a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I just like could not handle it.
We got we got a similar number of voicemails. So we're going to do the voicemails next week because I don't have access to them right now.
But thank
we
will you.
And by the way, if you want to send us a voicemail, 213-534-8807 or 21-ELF-HUT-07 or ELF-GUT-07. Comments, questions, interpretations, whatever you guys want. Also, if you want to send us an email, it's southpark@wisecrack.co. That's .co, not .com. Lux, what do we got?
We got a bunch. A lot of them are redundant, so I just want to like get this out of the way before I start reading them. We got a lot of emails that were like, I think it's smart, like a good take that you guys were annoyed by this episode. And a lot of people who are like, you guys are PC babies. And fair, both fair takes. I think that I just want to clarify at least what I thought Amanda was saying, which is basically that it's not a problem that they have a trans thing on the show, which I think a lot of people thought was our issue. It was just that it felt like lazy and boring, and that like I come to South Park for being like the new, like a cool, different version of the discourse, not just like the same thing that I hear all the time.
Exactly. Like, I think it would actually be a major lapse if, like, at this point they hadn't addressed, like, trans issues, for sure.
Yeah. So I just want to get that out of the way. But thanks everyone for emailing, because, like, we got a lot of really good ones. I have four pulled up, but if we want to do some more because we don't have voicemails, I can take a second to find some more. But let's do these. Our first one is the first one, subject, turd burglars, because we actually got one in about this episode already, which thanks for emailing on Thanksgiving morning. This is from Alex, who says, hey, Wisecrackers, just watched the latest episode of South Park, Turd Burglars, and as usual, found it very funny. In fact, it seemed to go a little back to the basics and focus more on being funny for funny's sake instead of offering commentary. However, there certainly was some subtext underneath the text. One thing I could think of is that maybe it was pointing out our culture's obsession with quick, effective, and instant solutions. Case in point, just inserting another person's poop into yourself instead of living a healthy and sustainable lifestyle. I'll keep this short. Just wanted to share the thought and thank you for your content. P.S. Was this the first time we actually heard Kenny's normal speech in quotes? Because it was technically his inner monologue. Well, we talked about the second thing already, which is that it's not the first time, but it's one of very few.
Yeah. The only other one I can think of again is the South Park movie.
Yeah. But what do you guys think about this idea of it being a critique of this idea of, like, quick fix problems?
For sure. I mean, Tom Brady literally says that. He's like, just eat healthy and, like, live a good life and you'll be okay. Which isn't always true, of course, but.
Hartman even says, Kyle, this is the world we're living in. People are finding new and exciting ways of getting healthy. Who are we to stand in their way? But I think, yeah, it's not only, I mean, look, there have always been fad diets. There was the Atkins diet. There were diets before that. I've heard people dieting, only eating things that are white. But it seems like these days, with the scientific advancements we've been experiencing, and not that we've been experiencing them versus the last 50 years or whatever, but specifically, I think people are willing to do things that are a little bit more traditionally gross. And yeah, I think it was a pretty hilarious way to hyperbolize that and make fun of it.
Yeah. I thought it was very good and very smart.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, have you guys seen that? Like, there's a whole thing where, like, you use charcoal to brush your teeth and it'll make your teeth even whiter.
Yeah.
It looks gross. I mean, you're literally just putting black stuff on your teeth and they're trying to be white. I don't know if it works or not, but the point is that what seems totally counterintuitive all of a sudden seems like, oh, well, that may be a reason why it actually makes sense, in the same way that putting someone else's poop up your butt could be healthy.
Right. It's just the counterintuitive stuff can really freaks me out sometimes. Because it's weird and put this jade egg in your butt or whatever. it's like I don't
literally
know.
That doesn't no make any health benefits associated with jade eggs. To be clear.
Wow, a shocking revelation.
It's weird to me that Gwyneth Paltrow wasn't in the episode, though, because she seems like a prime target for South Park.
That's the thing, is that they were targeting regular women who I think are more like, I think I didn't like it as much because instead of targeting the people who are really profiting off of other people's insecurities, they were targeting, like, regular women who are trying to, like, use the resources they have to, like, be as hot and young and vital as they can be. Whereas, yes, I think Gwyneth Paltrow would have been a much funnier person to mock.
Definitely.
I think I'm inclined to agree. All right. Next email is from Rodrigo, who says, hey guys, Rodrigo here. Love the podcast. The latest episode really bothered me because you PC babies didn't even give the joke a chance to land before being offended by it. How can South Park create a boogeyman in its portrayal of transgender people when the episode doesn't even feature an actual transgender person in it? Remember, Heather Swanson is actually a horrible cisgender man using the cultural momentum to torture his ex-girlfriend. That's why PC Pinsible confronts him, and that's why the actual PC babies on the show never seem to cry or be bothered by it. In fact, they're just as confused as PC principals himself, because why on earth would someone be that mean? Love from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Until next time, Rodrigo. Again, like, this is the point I was trying to make earlier, I think, that, like, the problem is that, like, the story that this guy's telling of someone pretending to be a cis guy pretending to be transgender and to use it to abuse things is this bullshit right-wing talking point about why transgender people shouldn't have rights.
Exactly. Wait, Jared, we never even heard what you thought of this episode.
Yeah, well, I will say we did get a couple emails as well of people saying that, like, hey, this actually has happened. So it's not that, like, maybe right-wing people bring it up and maybe they bring it up too often. I don't know. I don't really listen to political talk shows at all. But it's not like the South Park people are making it up, nor are the right-wing commentators making it up.
Well, actually, there's a pretty significant distinction between the examples everyone sent and the thing that happens in the episode.
Oh, of course, but it's South Park, and they always exaggerate, exacerbate, hyperbolize. I mean, they do that with everything, even inane things.
I think the distinction matters, though, because it's like, in the show, they're using this sort of trans rule-breaking to for self-aggrandizement, etc. The examples everyone sent are trans people competed, and there was some dispute about whether or not they should compete because of various, like, biological advantages, etc. But, like, they weren't using trans identification to cheat and win or to abuse people. They were using it to... because that's how they identify. And then there was like questions about like how fair that is, which I think is a discussion that's worth having.
I don't have any of the emails pulled up. I do seem to remember, and maybe, and I think these people, I do at least, I don't have the research. I do in the back of my mind, completely anecdotally remember that there have been athletes that have basically just been trolls who are saying like, yeah, I'm identifying with the women as a woman as I lift this weight. And wow, I just broke the record. Therefore, I'm the most successful woman ever. And I don't think it ever actually got to any real athletic competitions, but it has been something that people have been doing in bad faith, but maybe not at real athletic competitions. But once again, I don't have that research in front of me. These are just something I heard. Maybe I heard it from the echoes of some right-wing organization. I don't really know. I don't really care. But point is, as far as what I thought about the episode, I liked it. You know, it pretty much goes to what I was saying earlier in this episode, and just my philosophy of helping the disenfranchised is I just think that, you know, the sooner we get to a point where we can make fun of trans people the same we make fun of everybody else, the more convinced I will be that we've actually achieved equality. And but to Rodrigo's point, they're not actually making fun of anyone who's legitimately trans in the episode.
Right, which I actually think was a missed opportunity, because I say this a bunch in our podcast. If they had actually just made a trans character who was just like an asshole, I actually think that could be really funny, because you never see that now, because like PC culture is very respectful of trans people because they're historically super marginalized. But like, making a legitimate like asshole real trans character could be really interesting, but
well, I don't know. See, the word respectful I kind of take issue with, because there's a point to where when you stop criticizing somebody or you put a wall up of not criticizing someone, where it actually becomes not respectful. So for an example, one part of like liberal racism that I'm always pointing to is the fact that people will criticize Eminem or other, like, and these are people like on the left, people who are very PC. They'll criticize a lot of rappers or singers who say things in their lyrics that are demeaning towards women, or that they talk about like beating their wives. But literally, like, so many hip hop artists are constantly talking about how abusive they are towards their spouses and how they degrade women all the time. But the people on the left or the PC babies, they don't actually criticize them. And I don't know why, because to me, that's like extremely racist to say that, oh, okay, these people are, you know, urban and black, like they don't know better, so therefore we shouldn't criticize them. That to me is liberal racism. And I think that there's something similar with saying that, all right, well, people don't make fun of trans people because it's respectful. I don't think it's respectful.
No,
fun of them is a lack of respect.
I think we agree. That's what I was saying. I was saying, like, it's perceived as respectful, but, like, yeah, if a trans person, like, you know, steals your seat, like, that sucks. Like, I mean, yeah. No, I get it. Like, treat everyone equally, for sure.
The example you gave on the episode was like, if there was just an episode about like a trans guy who keeps eating everyone's leftovers and no one says anything to them because they're trans, like that'd be very funny to me, because
yeah,
that's like
sure.
a thing that can happen. But yeah, I don't know. I think we got a lot of emails about like people taking issue with us calling it a straw man argument, etc. I just think that like the thing is that South Park is so good because South Park approaches things from new, cool angles. South Park regurgitating shit I hear on Sean Hannity is boring. And, like, I don't watch South Park to be bored.
Totally.
Yeah. And that's fine.
Like, that's my main issue. Like, I don't give a shit what they're talking about or why. Like,
I don't listen to Hannity, so it was very novel for me.
See, I prank call Sean Hannity every week for the prank show, so I get plenty of this shit.
Wow, that is something I did not know about you. I'm fascinated.
I do this. I'll plug the prank show at the end. People can hear about it. Anyways, so the next email, which I think is going to be an interesting one, is not about an episode in particular, but it raises a thing that I think will be fun to discuss. Hey, authoritarians, Nikhil here. I have been a big fan of Rick and Morty from beginning, and I binged about 21 seasons of South Park to catch up to live last year. I have a few friends who like to watch Rick and Morty, but try not to get involved in the South Park. Is it just because of the length of the series or something else there? In what regards do you think their fan bases see each other's show? Some of my friends say the humor is childish in Rick and Morty, in the case of South Park, but I would argue they have the same type of humor as Rick and Morty. Really like to know your view on this. Thanks for everything you guys have been doing. And I think this is just an into a bigger conversation of like how do like the Rick and Morty South Park comparison. I think it's an interesting one, especially for us because we do so much with both shows.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great question.
Yeah, what do y'all think about that?
Well, on a basic level, I would say that the second episode of this most recent Rick and Morty season is about shy pooping, and there are a whole bunch of poop jokes. In one instance, Rick even manifests a giant turd in a middle finger and farts up a whole room. So I don't think that Rick and Morty is beyond dick and fart jokes. Perhaps they don't lean as much into swearing and kind of just obscene humor as South Park does. But I don't know. It's a little bit apples and oranges. Like Rick and Morty is, in my opinion, it's impressive because of the structure. It's because Dan Harmon is a major perfectionist when it comes to just packing his episodes with as many subplots and as many arcs and as many beats as possible. And that's very different than South Park. But in terms of like one comedy being smarter than the other, I think it's more apples and oranges. You know, Rick and Morty doesn't really comment on social issues like South Park does. And South Park doesn't really comment on existential issues like Rick and Morty has, but doesn't often.
Yeah, I think that my thing with it, I think you're kind of getting at this, is that like they kind of just have different views of like humans and human agency. Like Rick and Morty seems very much to be sort of like, everything is so big that it doesn't even seem totally to matter what kind of choices we make, or if it does matter, it only matters in these very small ways. Whereas South Park, like we've talked about in a bunch of videos on the podcast, is very much about responsibility and like the value of like your actions and stuff. Yeah. In a way that Rick and Morty is like super not interested in a lot of the time. And I think that that's like a real divergent point. Cause I actually think that they do have very similar senses of humor in terms of like joke. They like to make a lot of jokes really fast. They can be smart, crazy esoteric references like Dune, or they can be like doo doo fart fart. and they can vacillate between the two, like just like instantly, like both Rick and Morty and South Park can do that. But the big difference to me seems to be like their view of like what being a person entails. Whereas South Park is like a person's responsible for all their shit. Rick and Morty is more like a person is a sack of meat that's going to die later. And I think I find that sort of those two different approaches to obviously make for very different shows, but to be a very interesting kind of divergence.
For sure. And I think even like looking at like the impetus or like the motor character behind every episode, it's like Rick versus Cartman. Like if you compare their philosophies, it's like they couldn't be more different, but each of them is really, really good at fueling like episode after episode of like fascinating content.
The other thing I'll say is that for some reason, there are a lot of jokes in South Park that wouldn't land for me if I just didn't think that Trey Parker makes funny voices that make me laugh.
Yeah.
And it's a total taste thing, because sometimes he makes voices that just crack me the fuck up, and it's completely in the delivery. And I can definitely see that younger people might not be as prone to those kind of silly voices as I would. And I can't really argue with that.
Yeah. I mean, that's totally fair. All right. The next one we got is from Kevin, who says, this is an interesting one. This is like a case study thing. Kevin says, let me first start by saying that I'm relatively new to Respect Our Authority, although I've always been a fan of Wisecrack since the early days of Thug Notes, and I've loved you guys every step of the way. Thanks, Kevin. Now that I'm done flattering you all, let me share my thoughts on the Randy Savage portrayal of Heather Swanson. I totally understand your dislike of this episode as being problematic and gross, but as I listening to the episode, I was reminded of something that happened here in Canada about a month or so ago, namely the Jessica Yaniv affair. I don't know if this got any play in the United States, so I'll summarize it. Miss Yaniv is a trans woman who filed a bunch of complaints to the British Columbia Human Rights Commission alleging transphobia against the owners of beauty salons because they would not perform Brazilian waxes on persons' male genitalia. Turns out that Miss Yaniv has a history of racist and bigoted conduct and was pursuing those claims as a way to get back at people she was prejudiced against. While I'm pretty sure this is not the inspiration for Matt and Trey, it is a possible way to read Heather Swanson, a person who holds a grudge and is vindictively using a trans identity as a means to make another person uncomfortable while being able to yell transphobe at people who question her and her motivations. The consensus, as far as I can tell, is that if the National Post, our right-wing national newspaper, hadn't gotten hold of the story and made a big stink about it, she would have gotten away with using the Canadian government to extort and harass minority business owners for her own amusement. Below are some stories, links to stuff that I'm not going to read because there's links, if you're interested. Thanks for all you do and keep up the good work. So this is very interesting to me. Because, like, sure, this is a thing that happened and is obviously like a bad faith use of like cultural sensitivity, which is, I think, what the episode was trying to get at. right? This kind of bad faith dichotomy. I just think, again, like, the way they did it was lazy and dumb.
For sure. And it's also like, yeah, for every one of Jessica, whoever, like, there's literally probably like 10,000 trans people just trying to survive a society that is like not super welcoming to them generally, or at least somewhat distancing.
Oh yeah, sure. But in the same way, I could say for every one South Park that talks about that rare case of bad faith claims to transgender identity, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of Huffington Post articles and, you know, other TV shows and other stuff that are talking about, that are, you know, rightly giving a voice to those trans people who are struggling. So I'm just saying that, look, I mean, South Park always has been that show that will talk about things and will touch things on a 10-foot pole that other people won't. So it doesn't really bother me that much that they will be that one person.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually thought this was interesting, partly because, like, I mean, this will be my, what can amount to a semi mea culpa. There are some really interesting examples of things like this. There's also a person who sent examples of a woman in Fallon Fox who transitioned and was fighting in UFC. This is from Debbie, and has been winning a bunch of women's UFC fights because she's much bigger, because she had went through puberty as a man and has all of this stuff going on. And she also gives an example of Laura Hubbard, who's another trans person who did the same thing in weightlifting. And I think that these are all interesting examples, and I think they're all things to think about, right? Like, I don't think that we should just default everyone. If the point of, like, women's sports divisions is to, like, normalize sort of physical capacity, and there's this kind of distinction happening, then, like, this is a discussion that needs to be talked about. And, like, trans people using their identity to abuse minorities in Canada is also something that should be talked about. And these are all good examples of a thing. Again, the thing about this episode, maybe this is what made me annoyed about this episode, right, is that, like, the episode claims to be nuanced and is smirking about how nuanced it is, and it is like the least nuanced bullshit in the world. All these emails are like a paragraph and are more nuanced than the episode was.
Oh no, no, no! I don't think the episode is claiming to be nuanced. I think that PC Principle is just saying that we need to apply nuance to understand that. Yeah, I mean, if all you need to do is be able to claim I'm a woman now to be able to be recognized universally, or at least by the state or by sports institutions as a woman, then there needs to be nuance into, okay, well, did you go through puberty as a male? Well, then that needs to be taken into consideration. That, you know, I think that that's the nuance that they're coming. I don't think the episode is claiming that it's nuanced. I think that it's obviously not. It's bombastic, loud, and ridiculous. I think the point is that we need to have nuance when considering people's claims to be a different gender than they're born to. And we can't just say that that as soon as somebody claims to be what they are, then we can't look at that critically.
But, like, who is saying that? Like, so, I mean, so much of society is still, like, so not, like, accepting of trans people at all.
Oh, I know. I don't know. It depends on whatever echo chamber we're in.
Of course.
I mean, maybe
I'm
a different one than you are.
Like, yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah, I just think that, like, I think it's interesting, though. Like, I think that these are a lot of really good emails, and I appreciate everyone sending in these examples, because, like, it does make the case for why that nuance is necessary. And I totally agree with you on that, Jared. I do think the episode was kind of being smirky and self-satisfied about it. Maybe I'm just being wrong with that. But to me, that's how it read. And I think that's what bummed me out about the episode.
I read it,
like,
that
way. That's what bummed
too,
me out of the episode. Sure. Is I was like, this isn't nuance. Like, don't feel like you did a good job.
So I'll agree with you in the sense that I think that the episode was congratulating itself in the fact that we're the only ones with balls to call for the need for nuance. But I don't think it was calling itself nuance, but I do agree that I can see it as self-congratulatory, as just like, hey, just like no one else was condemning people kowtowing to China, we are going to, we're the first to criticize people who are uncritically kowtowing to anybody who makes a claim towards like transgender issues.
Yeah, I think that that's maybe fair. I just seems like it to me.
Seems like such a punch down right
yeah,
now.
It just
I don't
felt
know.
Like I said, it felt lazy and boring. But the thing about that also is that to me, lots of things feel lazy and boring. And so I don't know if I can say that that's a universal sort of diktat. But I really appreciate a lot of these emails because it did. Even though some of them were a fucking rude. It did at least, even if I don't agree with where a lot of people are coming from, at least sort of challenge me to like think a little bit more about how I'm characterizing these things. And that was good. And I always like to be pushed that way. So thank you for your emails. Even people who send subject lines like wah, 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 or used phrases like your mind is so open, your brain's falling out.
And if I may say, one of the proudest achievements that we've done at Wisecrack is knowing that there are people on both sides of the aisle listening. That's something that I'm extremely proud of.
Yeah, that was dope. I really enjoyed it because we also got, I didn't read them because we got a lot of emails. I can try and dig one up that were basically like, man, this episode was really shitty to me, and I'm glad you guys talked about why it was a problem. And so, like, for instance, we got this one from Keith, who says, I hated this last episode and I like it as well. Hey, that's how I felt about it. I thought it was a bit terrible and missed the mark. If I were to catalog South Park in terms of well-being or being good for the world or being bad, it'd get an F+. But that's my initial reaction, my own feelings watching it. The only way I could stomach the episode, helping/knowing many trans people who live despite repression and knowing how many are shut down by this issue, I still want to give South Park some credit. To me, the only way this episode makes sense is as a jab at those who complain about trans athletes, not trans athletes themselves. It's an issue that I think there's a simple solution to: have no gendered sports ever. But that points at the straight fears, worst ideas. Well, the episode missed the idea. If we think that South Park had the idea, maybe that's okay. Trans athletes should compete with their own peers, and they have on or near the same problems. But with the fear mongering, the ideas, and especially the PC babies not caring at the end. If we had a really random savage asshole trying to claim to be trans with medals, even the PC and trans would shoot them down. Though I think South Park really missed the mark. I think there is a point they're trying to reach, and if anyone complaining about trans in sports is wrong and shouldn't be listened to. Like, that's an interesting one. We had a bunch from trans people saying that they didn't like the portrayal and thought it was bad. I'm trying to dig those up as well. But the point is that, like, we got a ton of emails from a ton of different people, and I thought that was extremely dope, and I'm very glad that I'm happy to be yelled at on the internet by strangers if it means that we're sort of discoursing with, like, all sorts of different people. And I liked that a lot of them were pushing us to better explain stuff. I hope my little recap of where I'm at the top of this helped to clarify. Like, again, I would love South Park's take on trans people stuff, because I think South Park's really good at approaching things from, like, a 90-degree angle. But this just didn't feel like that to me, and it bums me out. And I like to hold shows to a standard of being smart and good.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it next week when we get to the voicemails, because I imagine we're probably still going to have a lot more for Bored Girls than we will this episode. So we'll continue to talk about this. So, guys, if you want to continue the conversation about this issue, go ahead and send us more emails. southpark@wisecrack.co, 213-534-8807. But I think we should probably wrap it up now, guys. I got some turkey to eat, and I imagine you guys do as well.
I got some simmers to make.
All right, guys, we will see you guys next week with South Park Season 23, Episode 9, assuming one is next week. Also, we're doing our Rick and Morty podcast, The Squanch, so if you haven't been listening in, we're midway through this very short season, and we're having a great time covering that. It's called The Squanch. It's on Apple, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all that stuff. And we'll see you next time, guys. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Bye.
Later.